On episode 49 of the new 8 Days of Geek podcast, bye-bye new 3DS, Hulu hits it big, and Star Wars Land. Stay tuned. To another episode of the new 8 Days of Geek podcast. I'm your host, Jesse Miller, and joining me, as always, the man who personally attended the premiere as the premiere of Trailer Haters, Sean Scott. Told you that one was more clever.
It was clever, except it was only clever to us because no one else has any idea what we talked about before the show.
Everyone else is like, yeah, it's exactly, I mean, we understand there's two words that sound exactly the same. They're premiere and premiere. And they're spelled differently, and we're the retards sitting over here spelling things wrong and wondering if there's actually an E on the end.
I felt like Dan Quayle spelling potato. We were like, is there supposed to be an E on the end, or is there not?
Yeah.
That is the question.
So for those of you who don't understand what we're prattling on about, there was a part of show notes where Sean had written a word premiere, and it looked right to me, but spell check kept flinging it up at me, and I'm like, oh. Let's see what spell check corrects it to. And what it is Sean ended it with an R and spell check added an E. And I'm like, I fixed your spelling error. And then he goes on to Google, searches for it with, you know, just ending an R and says it. Well, it's there. It's a real word. So then we realize, you know, in our short sightedness that there are two versions of the word premier. One of them is like prime ministers, heads of state, that kind of stuff. That's the one that ends in R.
Well, and I don't think it was even Google Docs picking one of the two out as the typo. Like I had made a typo. I had spelled it E before I, remember, and that's what made it come up as a typo. And you noticed it, and then you fixed it to add the E on the end. And then I said you were wrong.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. It was a kerfuffle.
It was a whole issue about the word premiere before we started recording. So
now you're the, you know, the premiere of Trailer Haters, because we also had a conversation about Sean not watching any of the trailers from Comic-Con.
Yeah, I don't really watch trailers. Like, I mean, I watched the one you sent me last night.
Great. What did I even send you? Was it
Ready Player One?
That's right. It was Ready Player One. You have to watch that one. I mean, come on.
Yeah, I watched it. And honestly, I mean, it's not even in the show notes anywhere to talk about. But if you want to, you know, get into it right now real quickly. But like, I wasn't incredibly impressed by it.
No?
Like it looked really nice. Maybe I need to go back and listen to the audiobook over again or something, because it just wasn't what I saw in my head. You know, other than like the stacks, you know, like when they showed the stacks, you know, like that looked like the way I had pictured it in my head, the way it was described in the books. But what I'm talking about is like when they go into the game and everything like that, that's not what I saw in my head based on what was described to me in the book. And I don't know. I was like, this just looks way too. Way too Tron.
Yeah.
You know, It was way more Tron than I had expected it to be. And I don't know. It made me worried watching that trailer. So that's why I don't like to watch that kind of stuff.
Ah, I see. So I've now imparted undue stress onto Sean.
Right. On a movie that I was really excited to see. You know, that's a fantastic book. So
I've ruined it for you. I own that. That is my disgrace. I'll wear it like a red badge of honor. But anyway. So, blurbs. You're responsible for the only blurb on here?
Oh, I am, aren't I?
You are.
And it's not a fun blurb either.
No, it is not.
It's another one of those sad times where we have to say farewell to important person in the geek community. And we were you at Comic-Con when we saw him? Because, like, I just saw this guy, you know, like a year – no, 2 years ago, like two Comic-Cons ago.
I was not, no.
Yeah, so George Romero, father of a zombie film, has passed away at the age of 77. You know, our best wishes to him, you know, to his family and everyone that knew him. As I said, he's the father of, you know, the zombie film. He created Night of the Living Dead, you know. It says here he made it for $114,000 and then spawned a genre. Now, like I said, I saw him talk just like 2 years ago at Comic-Con or so. And he talked about making that movie. And like back then when he did that in 1968, like the word zombie wasn't even a thing. Like the word zombie was only really used in like the Deep South in regards to like voodoo and stuff like that. You know, it was not like in the common vernacular in any way, shape or form. And until he made that movie and they started referring to them as zombies, that like he not only created a genre, he basically brought a word into our lexicon as well. It's really amazing what this guy did. So, and that's just Night of the Living Dead. You know, he also made many other things over his incredibly long career, and we're very sad to see him pass.
Very much so. Mr. Giant Glasses himself.
And I'm glad I got to see him at Comic-Con and see an icon like that speak, you know, in person.
Yeah.
Before he passed away. That's really cool. So.
Alrighty. That's it for the blurbs. So we're going to kick into
gaming.
Some gaming. First story here, bye-bye, new Nintendo 3DS. We knew you well. Or maybe we didn't. You never know. Someone might never have met you, you jackass. So production on the new Nintendo 3DS has ended in Japan. And Nintendo America is telling Polygon, which is where I got this story, stateside customers shouldn't be affected by production ending on the new Nintendo 3DS. I'm not sure how that works out. I mean, if you're not going to make it, you know, not sure how you expect this to not be affected. So the new Nintendo 3DS was just the smaller 3D clamshell Game Boy is all it was. Nothing too special there. Nintendo of Europe confirmed it will also be discontinued in the European region as well. So we're basically the only ones supposedly going to keep it. I don't know. However, this comes hot on the shoes of another one, the new Nintendo 2DS XL. Names are getting a little freaking ridiculous. It's like I slap new in front of anything. I hate that when a company does that. Apple did that with the iPad, the new iPad. Oh, God, I hate it. Because then you walk into a store, you're like, I want the new iPad. Well, which new iPad do you want? The new iPad. Oh, you mean the new iPad? Fuck. Anyway, so the new Nintendo 2DS XL, which is kind of the same size as the 3DS XL, but it gets rid of the 3D crud that maybe you like, but I think is a ridiculous gimmick on a handheld game console. So, yeah, you know, little 3DS goes bye-bye. New 2DS XL comes into play. Honestly, looking at the 2DS XL, and that is the next story in the gaming section. We'll just move on to that one. The 2DS XL actually looks really nice. Like, I might have to have one. It's clamshell. It's you got a micro SD card slot. They hid the game cartridge slot, which is awesome, behind a door, because that's one of the things about Nintendo handheld consoles. They always have the game cartridge like hanging out of the back of the game. Just very, you know, kind of ugly, and it's a lint trap. So you'll be able to play all the 3DS games on this, obviously. You know, it's the same console as the 3DS. It just doesn't have 3D built into it. I'm into the idea. It's going to be about $150, but that puts it like $60 or so less than the 3DS XL. So if you don't need 3D, this might be the console to get. I might be willing to fork out the cash, even though it's a Nintendo console and I'm not big on Nintendo consoles. What do you think? Have you played a handheld game that wasn't on your phone recently?
No, never. I have not played a handheld video game that wasn't on my phone since probably since the original Game Boy. And I've never even in my life have I owned a handheld video game system.
Wow.
Like even when we were kids, like my parents bought us basically, you know, in the line, every single new big name console that came out. You know, I grew up with a Nintendo, a Super Nintendo, a Sega, you know, a PlayStation, we had a Dreamcast, you know, but we could never convince them to get me to get a handheld game. That was an extravagance, you know. Like that was where they drew the line, I guess, and it was a very firm line. So like, and then once I grew up, you know, or got older, I'd never used one before, so I never had the need for one. And now that we have our phones, no, I've never owned one, and I can't even remember the last time I had a handheld video game console in my hands.
I see. Well, I'm holding my Nintendo DSi right now, which is the version right before the Nintendo 3DS came out. Clamshell, touchscreen on the bottom, two separate screens. They're not huge screens, but every time I go on any kind of trip to a convention or anything like that, I take it with me. It doesn't always get played, but sometimes you just want to play Mario, man. You know, or
maybe. I mean, I don't have a problem with handheld consoles. You know, it's not like I inherently despise them for some arbitrary reason. And this one seems to be like, for that price and everything, it sounds like a not a bad deal or anything. It's just not. I play video games on my phone so little as it is that I just could not justify purchasing anything other than, like, you know, remember those old handheld, like, you know, like $5 games that you used to buy at like KB Toys, you know,
yeah.
It'd be like, you know, Namco Football or whatever. Like, you know, I could justify buying one of those type of handheld games, but spending money on a Game Boy or something, nah, I just would never ever use it.
But what about Pokemon, Sean? Pokemon.
I've never played the real Pokemon games.
Oh, blasphemy.
I didn't particularly grow up with Pokemon. I'm a little older than that, you know.
Blasphemer.
So
you're just a hipster playing a game that you have no history with. I see. I get it.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, I played the Pokemon card game when I was, like, right after high school, like right around 99, 2000, around that time, you know, there was a Pokemon card game, you know, kind of like Magic the Gathering. I played some of that back then.
Wow.
But I was never a huge avid fan of the television shows or any of those games. I didn't really play much. I mean, I played a little bit, but I wasn't like I was, you know, owned everyone and, you know.
Huh. All right. Well, you know. All right.
But I think we need to talk here about, like, what the hell is wrong with Nintendo? Like, why do they keep just like, hey, we're going to make this thing for a little bit? No, we're not anymore. It's just like they're constantly playing games with everyone, you know? Like, why do they keep making things and then stop it? Like, it's so obnoxious.
It kind of is. Now, the new 3DS, I wonder, let's search for the new 3DS.
Referring to it as the new 3DS. Like, how new is it?
Well, that's what I'm looking up.
And now they're already continuing it.
Okay, so the new 3DS released 3 years ago, roughly, depending on where you were.
Okay, well, that's not bad, at least. I mean, that's 3 years worth. Okay. I had thought we were looking at another situation, much like, you know, the Nintendo Classic, you know, where they were like,
no,
hey,
it's
we're
not that bad.
Thing for 3 months and then screw everybody over. Stupid Nintendo. I'm still angry.
Yeah, there's a lot of people, I'm reading a lot of reviews that are saying, if you like Nintendo games, the Switch is nice and all, but they are actually saying that 2DS is going to be the console to get. Which I agree with, because the Switch is really kind of, I don't know, man. It's in a weird spot. You know, because it's a tablet, but it's not. And a lot of game makers are saying it's not powerful enough to do what they want it to do, so they're not going to put their games on it. But, you know, the Game Boy section of Nintendo, they don't call them Game Boys anymore, but let's face it, you're just hopped up Game Boys.
It's a Game Boy Color.
Yeah, it's firmly rooted in, you know, the pocket gaming culture where, you know, game makers know what it can do and they're willing to put games out for it. But it's because it's a pocket console. It's from the very beginning, it's known it's a pocket console. It doesn't try to be anything else. The Switch was trying to be some bastardized version of a pocket console and a, you know, regular living room console. And I just don't think that's a route anyone's going to successfully take and
no,
make money.
Because especially for someone like me, like I definitely wouldn't, like I yeah. would be far well, see, more likely to purchase a 2DS than I would a Switch, because the Switch is just like intimidating. It's weird. And like, I don't know whether it's one thing or the other. And if I want to use it for a console in my living room, it looks to me as if the controllers are extraordinarily small.
Exactly.
And I don't know what's the price point on that, like on the Switch. Isn't it just like
bucks?
Yeah, no way, not a chance. You know, $150 for a handheld little device like that, way more likely.
Yeah,
so
I don't know. I mean, it's tempting when it comes out. I know my daughter likes to play with my DSi, so maybe I'll give her that and upgrade myself to a 2DS XL or something. Who knows? Anyway, so, let's see, next.
I have to tell you something, Trevor. It's time for TV news.
Speaking of my daughter, I have a, unbeknownst to her, I have a My Little Pony unicorn coming out on my 3D printer downstairs that I keep watching.
Oh.
Remotely.
Nice.
It's 12-hour print. Anyway, Sean, TV.
TV. And, okay, so we're recording this during the weekend of San Diego Comic-Con. And despite that, and despite all the news that we have to talk about during this podcast, this story right here that occurred before Comic-Con is it's the largest story in our community, right?
Pardon me. Holy crap. Sorry about that.
I didn't mean to, you know, make you all distraught.
You ever have one of those moments where your body doesn't tell you to swallow before you breathe in and try to talk? Sorry. Holy crap. It even got you to post on Facebook, which never happens.
Right. I made a very rare Facebook appearance that was not a post promoting something 8 Days of Geek related. And that doesn't happen very often. So, and what we're referring to here is the fact that they have announced who will be portraying the Doctor in the newest season of Doctor Who. And the internet, at least a portion of it, has lost their minds. And that's because Jodie Whittaker, a female, has been cast to play the role of the Doctor on the long-running BBC series. So I have no problem whatsoever with this. I think Jodie Whittaker is awesome. She was great on Broadchurch. I've been waiting for a doctor to be a woman since David Tennant grabbed his chest looking for breasts when he regenerated and was disappointed to not find any. And I mean, they established precedent right then and there, and they have established other precedent prior, you know, other than that, stating that Time Lords can regenerate. I mean, they did it in the last couple seasons with the Master you know, having been the character of Missy. So, you know, you knew it was a possibility. And if you're surprised by it now, or you're still complaining about it, you're just sexist. And my post on Facebook was in regards to everyone who was so up in arms over it. And I see so many people on the internet complaining that the Doctor is now being played by a woman, but that they're not even referring to the character as the Doctor. They're calling the character Doctor Who. And, you know, you can make semantic arguments about how the character was credited in 1968, you know, 1963 on the TV show. But regardless, he refers to himself as the Doctor. He doesn't introduce himself as Doctor Who. And that's not his name. And so for somebody to say Doctor Who's now a woman, like, not only are you sexist, you're also stupid. And you're clearly not a fan of the show that you're spending all your time trolling the internet about. So congratulations to Jodie Whittaker. I am super excited to see this take place, and I hope it goes off fantastically. What do you have to say about it?
I also am excited to see how this works out. I do not know anything about Jodie Whittaker. I've never watched Broadchurch, any of that. So I don't know. You know, like, you watch an actor or actress and you get a feeling for how they think how they would play a role, no matter what role it is. Some actors play it inherently goofy. Some actors play it, you know, inherently serious, things like that. So I have no bearing on what she's going to do. Is she going to be a serious grumpy doctor? Is she going to be, you know, a goofy Matt Smith type doctor? You know, it's hard to say. One of my questions I did have, though, it looks to me like the scene that we see her in when they did the reveal, that's Peter Capaldi's outfit, right? It's different in the color.
Let me see if I've got a good picture of it.
It's like a suit coat and a hoodie, which is something Capaldi always wore.
Yeah.
So it's after the regeneration.
Right. It looks like she's still wearing Capaldi's clothes, and that's why she's got the hood pulled up and everything. Yeah.
Uh-huh. So I would be interested to see, you know, every doctor gets their own outfit. I think the outfit for her is going to be very important. Because that is going, you know, just like all the other doctors, it kind of sets the mood for the doctor, you know? It really does.
And you know what, like, being a fan of the show, like, I feel like you're right, because, like, even when the guys regenerate, like, their outfit is a big deal.
Exactly.
And,
yeah.
You know, Capaldi made a big deal about it when he got his outfit and having it designed the way he wanted it to be designed and everything. And it even caused Chris Eccleston, I believe, to comment on how when he had been given the role, that he had originally requested an outfit very similar to what Capaldi was being given, and he was somewhat disappointed when he was not granted that request and was given, you know, the leather jacket, and in my opinion the iconic, you know, leather jacket that he brought the character back with, and then of course David Tennant's, you know,
trench coat and chucks
and Matt Smith's, you know, bow ties and fezzes. It's always a big deal. However, it's just like, now it's a woman playing the role, and the first thing you say is, well, whatever outfit she chooses is going to be what really defines her. It sounds so awful.
It does sound really sexist.
It really is not meant to be that way, because it has defined all of them.
Exactly. It's the first thing I look at every time a new doctor starts. Like, when I saw Peter Capaldi's outfit, like, to me, the reveal, like, when they said Peter Capaldi will be the new doctor, I'm like, oh, okay, well, you know, sure, whatever. And then as soon as you see him in the outfit, that's when they become the doctor to me. When they have their own outfit, because then you see that and you're like, yep, totally. Okay, I could see them walking out of the TARDIS. That's the doctor.
Right.
So I think it's going to have a big part. It'll be interesting to see what she picks and how she plays the role. I'm totally into it.
Well, there was so much vitriol on the internet and complaints towards the BBC that they issued a statement. And I want to click the link here and bring it up because they they didn't respond, you know, super kindly to all the sexists out there. Yeah. And they said that since the first doctor regenerated back in 1966, the concept of the doctor as a constantly evolving being has been central to the program. The continual input of fresh ideas and new voices across the cast and the writing and production teams have been key to the longevity of the series. The doctor is an alien from the planet Gallifrey, and it has been established in the show that Time Lords can switch gender. As the controller of BBC drama has said, Jodie is not just a talented actor, but she has a bold and brilliant vision for her doctor. She aced it in her audition, both technically and with the powerful female life force she brings to the role. She's destined to be an utterly iconic doctor. We hope viewers will enjoy what we have in store for the continuation of the story. So basically, it was just a short, sweet, like, you know, F off.
I would say it's like, sod off.
Yeah, yeah. So, and I completely agree with it. I'm super excited. Congratulations, Jodie Whittaker.
Yeah, that'll be cool.
All right, moving on. One of my favorite new shows on television is Lucifer. And it's another comic book adaptation that has been put on television. This series is on Fox, and it follows, you know, Lucifer Morningstar, the devil. And we've talked about it before on the podcast, and they announced this week, I believe at Comic-Con, and that's where we discussed the whole trailer earlier, that like I feel like Comic-Con is just a place for them to play trailers 3 days straight, and so, you know, I'm looking for a lot of the, you know, the actual announcements that come out, things like that, and that's kind of exciting for me, is that they've added a new character to Lucifer's third season, and it is what I watched for 10 years on the CW when he portrayed Clark Kent on Smallville, and that's Tom Welling. So Tom Welling, who was Superman on CW's Smallville for all those seasons, will now be joining the cast of Lucifer. Marcus Pierce, an accomplished police lieutenant. So I'm pretty excited. I like this show. I like him. He hasn't really done much, at least not much that I've seen, since leaving Smallville, or since Smallville ended. He didn't really leave it. So I thought it was pretty cool. You didn't watch Smallville. You didn't like Superman. You don't watch this show. Have you ever seen this show? I don't remember if you had seen Lucifer or not.
I have not.
It's a pretty cool show. It's pretty interesting. If you like that whole, you know, like religious mythology, you know, like I'm a big fan. Like I've been watching Preacher as well on AMC. And that's a really cool, show too.
All right.
So the next thing I've got on here, and I think we have briefly discussed the fact that they are making a Psych the movie for television. Have we briefly discussed that on the podcast before? I seem to think that it did come, or it might have just been you and I. I'm not sure.
I don't honestly remember. I don't think we have. It hasn't been in show notes, I don't believe. But right, you get 49 episodes in. It's kind of hard to say.
I know. Next time it's 50. That's impressive. So Psych was a really great show in USA. The USA has a great history of being original programming, and I'm still angry at Netflix, and we'll get into some of this later on in the TV stuff, because I binge watched Psych. I'd never watched it before, and there were I don't even know how many there were. I think there were 8 seasons of this show, maybe even more than that. Oh, it ran from 2006 to 2014. Yeah, so I think that's like 8 seasons. And I binge watched this thing on Netflix, and I was it was like a race against time because it was one of those shows that they were pulling from Netflix, and they had the, you know, the expiration date, you know, on there every time you'd get on to watch. And I failed. I did not beat the clock, and I had only one episode and then the finale, or just the finale left, and that's all I had left to watch before and when Netflix pulled it. And so I have still yet to even see the series finale of this show, which I was such a great fan of after having watched, you know, 8 seasons of it in the course of like a month. And so they have announced now several years later that they're going to bring it back, and they're going to do a fun, you know, made for TV movie with all the same characters coming back and everything. And they just announced at Comic-Con this week that they've added another one of the characters from the original show Psych to the made for TV movie. Did you watch Psych when it was on? You watch this show? This seems like something that would be up your alley.
You know, I've been told that it was up my alley, and I never did watch it.
Oh yeah, I think this is something you would really enjoy. It's really funny and just silly, and it's got the TV show, the movie that they're making here for TV. They've said hopefully Timothy Amundsen, I believe is what his name was.
Yeah,
he's the guy that you're a big fan of from
Gallivant,
exactly. Oh, yeah. And apparently he had a stroke recently.
Holy crap!
And
really?
Yeah, so they said that he might. They're trying to get him in the made-for-TV movie in some way, shape, or form, but it's not like a guarantee because of the fact that apparently he is in ill health, and I was not aware of that, and that's sad. And our best wishes go out to him.
Yeah, that sucks.
They did announce that Jimmy Simpson would be joining the cast, and Jimmy Simpson is one of my favorite, like, I guess you'd call him a character actor, I guess. He's been in a lot of different stuff, but most recently he's on Westworld, and so, you know, somebody who's on a pretty successful show like Westworld and HBO doesn't really need to do a made-for-TV movie on the USA channel, but he announced this weekend at Comic-Con that he was movie, which is pretty cool. So it already is going to feature James Rodean, Doolittle, of course, and then Maggie Lawson, Kristen Nelson, and Corbin Burnson are all coming back. So this should be pretty cool. I'm going to have to go find somewhere where I can watch the last episode of the series before this hits television. I believe they said in December. I think it's going to be a holiday-themed made-for-TV movie. So.
Huh. Okay.
And the next thing I've got for you, were you aware? I mean, we all know how many television shows and ventures that Chris Hardwick from The Nerdist is involved in. I was unaware that he hadn't had the ability to lose a job. And this actually makes me sad because I'm a huge fan of this show. And that At Midnight on Comedy Central, they've announced its cancellation. So this is the game show that Chris Hardwick hosts on Comedy Central that debuted years ago behind The Daily Show and The Colbert Report. And, you know, he awards arbitrary amounts of points to stand-up comedians, and they joke about the day's goings-on on the internet and social media and things like that. And despite its game show presentation and, you know, the fact that it is just a, you know, a bunch of dick jokes and things like that over the course of half an hour, it, just like Comedy Central has been wont to do with The Daily Show and The Nightly Show and Colbert and all their other late night talk shows like that, it is a source of news for, you know, a large chunk of people. And I enjoy watching this on a nightly basis. So I'm sad to see that it's going to go. And Comedy Central said it's all been a joint decision amongst themselves and Chris Hardwick and the producers and everyone at Funny or Die, who is also behind the show. Tom Lennon is one of the executive producers. Everyone's gotten together and decided that it's time to end it after four years on the air and 600 episodes. So they've done 600 episodes of this show, and that is pretty impressive. They've won two Emmy Awards, and they're going to end it on August 4th when the show hits that 600-episode milestone. So I'll be sure to have my TiVo set. I'm a little sad, but, you know, as I said at the beginning, Chris Hardwick has a million jobs, and you can still see him on, you know, a bunch of other, and I watch The Talking Dead when The Walking Dead is on the air. I watch Talking with Chris Hardwick when The Walking Dead is not on the air. And I also watch this game show he hosts on NBC called The Wall, which is like a version of Plinko from The Price is Right, where they drop these giant balls down a wall into, you know, slots where they win money, and it's trivia. And I even watch that. Like, I put this guy on TV and I'll probably watch it. So
I agree. I love pretty much everything Chris Hardwick does. And I don't watch a lot of TV, so I haven't watched a bunch of At Midnight, but the episodes I have watched have made me cry laughing.
Yeah, it's a great fantastic show. I mean, like, and it's a great place. Like, I have become more acquainted with, more I've just learned more about, you know, many comedians, many stand-up comics that I would then go on to see in, you know, different things by watching At Midnight, because he has three different guests on there every night, you know. And and I'm not a huge fan of watching just straight stand up, but being introduced to them through that, and then being able to follow them from At Midnight onto other, you know, TV shows or movies or other things like that that they may do, I would think it would be beneficial to a lot of their careers and stuff. So it's kind of sad to see something like that go. And I did read in one article, I'm not sure if it's the one that's linked to in the show notes or not, but Chris Hardwick said that there has already been talk of reviving that type of show in some kind of way, you know, in the future, but it's just not going to be, you know, Chris Hardwick's At Midnight.
Yeah. Gotcha. Okay. Well, I mean, you know Chris Hardwick. He'll take this one and end up starting two new things.
Right, right. Exactly. Well, I mean, he's already doing things anyway, and, you know, as we're talking right now, I'm sure he's talking in San Diego. You know, he's at Comic-Con right now, you know, in addition to doing all of those other things. And his stand-up comedy tour, you know, I've seen him do stand-up comedy, I believe, twice now. You know, every time he comes through, I'll go see him. You know, he's constantly working, and everything he produces is quality, in my opinion. So
Sean's got a big rubbery one for Chris Hardwick.
You know, I mean, maybe the 8 Days of Geek could get absorbed by the Nerdist Podcast Network.
I'm totally okay with that. I'm just throwing it out there. Totally let Chris Hardwick be my boss.
I'm just throwing it out there, Chris. So the final story we've got in the TV section is in regards to Hulu. And this plays back into what we were talking about earlier with Psych, and where I was saying I was going to have to look for a place to find the where to watch this show now. And I don't know if it's available on Hulu or not, but this story has also ties back with something that we've discussed in the past with Netflix constantly removing TV shows, because, as you know, I'm a TV guy, and I don't rewatch a lot of movies over and over and over again, and I'm very picky about the movies that I do watch, hence the reason that we Netflix later on in the podcast. So TV is my thing, and Netflix just keeps removing more and more television, classic television, from their library. And I stumbled across this story, and I thought this was awesome. And it makes me, because I do not have a Hulu subscription, and so this makes me want to purchase a Hulu subscription right now, and just in pure defiance with of Netflix. So apparently Hulu and 20th Century Fox have teamed up and they have signed a deal to where Hulu will be adding over 3,000 episodes of TV shows, classic and hit TV shows to their library. And that's it. I mean, that's the whole point of the story here is 3,000 episodes of so many different shows. And we're talking like old school stuff, new school stuff here, all kinds of things. And they said it includes but not limited to shows like MASH, Bones, The Mary Tyler Moore Show, The Bob Newhart Show, Dollhouse, Wilfred, Glee, Better Off Ted, Raising Hope, The Grinder, NYPD Blue I saw mentioned, How I Met Your Mother, all kinds of television programming being added to Hulu. So if you don't have a subscription, I would suggest definitely looking into it if you're a big TV fan like I am, because Netflix is definitely waning in their television library selection. It says here Hulu is already the exclusive home to several of the exclusive home to several of 20th Century Fox's programming, such as Empire, Last Man on Earth, Fresh Off the Boat, This Is Us, and these are all like current. You know, This Is Us is the number one drama series of the year, and it's available exclusively on Hulu. This deal follows the announcement that Hulu will be adding top animated comedies from 20th Century Fox, such as Bob's Burgers, American Dad, The Cleveland Show, and Futurama, which we discussed in an episode, either one or two episodes ago, that it was being deleted from Netflix, except for certain seasons. So now you know where to find it. Hulu's got it, along with apparently every other TV show in the world. So I'm seriously going to, when we're done here, look into, getting a subscription to Hulu based on this announcement.
Wow. They got Sean to spend money.
Possibly. Haven't guaranteed anything, but.
That's crazy. Even the fact that you're thinking about it is above and beyond.
Right, seriously considering it.
Wow. Okay.
Because I feel like, there are certain shows, and there are still certain shows on Netflix that, they've still got The Office, they've still got It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. You know, those are two shows right there that are probably my favorite sitcoms of all time. So, but if one of those were to get pulled from Netflix, like, I would be devastated. Those are shows that, I've got to rewatch the entire series, at least once a year. They're just that good. And in addition to that, but I don't want to watch them too often, right? So I need like a whole list of shows that I can just rewatch over and over and over again on a cycle. And Netflix, like Futurama, was on that list, and Netflix is now pulling things off of like my set. Favorites list, and if they start removing things like that, and they're available on Hulu, then I may just have to move my, media consumption to another platform, or the bulk of my media consumption, we'll put it.
Huh. Well, if that's what you want to do. I myself am not a huge fan of Hulu because you pay the monthly fee and you still have to deal with ads.
Yeah, that's kind of crappy. I mean, how much ads? I don't know because I don't have, like I said, I don't have Hulu. So.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't had Hulu for a long time, so. Oh, well. Okay. Well, let's see here then. I guess we're on to moi.
Tech news.
All right. So first thing I'm going to talk about, net neutrality is something that a set of words that I say probably more than most of my friends would like me to. AT&T, we're still in a fight for net neutrality. It's a never-ending fight because there are people with a lot of money and a lot of, pull that want to lessen the impact of net neutrality. AT&T has basically tried to trick their customers into fighting against net neutrality. They say they support net neutrality, quote unquote. however, what's interesting is, like, DirecTV customers, for instance, got a little message on their TVs recently. Are you a DirecTV customer?
No,
you have Charter. That's right.
Yeah.
But they got a little message on their TVs recently, telling people. Let me see if I can find the exact wordage here. Tell Congress to adopt permanent protections. AT&T supports an open internet. These are things the message said. And AT&T, according to The Verge, has a series of pre-written messages that you can email out after filling in some personal details like your name, phone number, and address. You cannot edit the wording of the messages. and so far they've got three different examples here. There is a right way and a wrong way to preserve the concept of an open internet. I'm in favor of protecting the open internet with legislation. Or, I agree with the FCC that it doesn't make sense to apply an 80-year-old regulatory scheme to the internet. Or, while I support the FCC's work to get rid of the rules that were harming the internet economy, I believe the only way to permanently guarantee an open internet is by Congress creating a law. What AT&T doesn't tell you is that they have so much pull in Congress, a law from Congress would probably sway very much in their favor. The 80-year-old regulatory scheme that the FCC is applying to the internet is, what is it called? Title II, I think. I'm pretty sure it's called Title II. It has a two in it. Title II. Title II authority. It's basically common carrier is the word that everyone likes to use for it. But let's see. So that's the Congress law. You got the 80-year-old regulatory thing. There is a right way and a wrong way to preserve the concept of an open internet. I'm in favor of protecting the internet with legislation is the same thing as the second one or the third one. Congress creating a law. So I don't think that's a good idea, leaving it in Congress's hands, because like I said, they have a lot of pull in Congress, AT&T, Comcast, all of those. The whole point of the FCC being the ones to take care of this was that, you know, they are perfect at regulating this kind of thing.
It's their job.
It kind of is. So, you know, this is super shifty, which I wouldn't expect anything else from AT&T. I mean, they're the shiftiest company I've ever seen in my entire life. They do this kind of thing all the time. I think they probably have an entire department of people who are tasked simply with trying to trick their customers into doing things. So, you know, no big surprise there. Comcast is basically saying that net neutrality supporters are creating hysteria. Basically, anyone who will make money if net neutrality rules go away is saying that the net neutrality supporters are crazy. But they still support net neutrality. They just don't want to be regulated. That's basically like Comcast has said, let's see here, reversing the FCC's 2015 internet regulation order will do several positive things. Increase customer choice, bullshit, spur innovation and investment, bullshit, and create lasting consumer and competitive protections. How are getting rid of those regulations going to create lasting consumer and competitive protections? That doesn't make any sense. Increase customer choice. No, it won't. It won't at all, because these companies specifically stay out of each other's way. They won't compete against each other. You know, we only have one cable company. We only have one DSL provider. That's not by accident.
Right.
They do it on purpose. And lifting these regulations is not going to change that in any way. These regulations don't even pertain to that. And then spur innovation and investment. The only way that would spur innovation and investment is because they will say that because they can't control packets across their network, it's not financially viable for them to go into or to build out their network anymore or to make their network faster or any of these things. It's just not financially viable. What that means is if those regulations go away, they're going to charge you more for something because you would be not smart to think that if it's not financially viable for them to build out into an area just because they can't change the way the data goes over the network or they can't charge people for the way the data goes over the network, you'd be a fool to think that taking those regulations away would just automatically mean that they'd build out that direction because it doesn't change how much it's going to cost. It's still not financially viable to do it unless they can charge you more for watching Netflix at high speed. Then it becomes financially viable because now we can charge our customers more. So, I mean, they pretty much shot themselves in the foot with that statement alone. You know? I've logged my complaints with the FCC, and I've got a bunch of family members that I've had logged complaints to once I explained it to them. So, I mean, make your own choice or just don't make a choice at all and just let things happen if that's the kind of person you are. But, you know, if you're wanting an open, if you want an open internet, tell the FCC what you think about net neutrality. If you don't want to pay more for the services you already have because some company wants to make more and give their CEO a couple million-dollar raise, you know, maybe go for net neutrality as well. Do not let them trick you like AT&T is trying to do to their customers. Do your own independent research. Don't even listen to what I say. You know, take what I say as a grain of salt because my opinion on it is biased. We have our own podcast. So, you know, if they get rid of these net neutrality rules, Comcast or Verizon or AT&T could all of a sudden say, hey, podcasts, you got to pay more to download them. That's just the way it is. Got to pay $1 a month to download podcasts. They get that money. We don't get that money. And that means that our show gets less listeners because now people have to pay for it to get it. We don't make money off this thing anyway. So it's, you know, that kind of stuff is not good. Don't let anyone tell you what you can and can't do on the internet. That's my rant. I'm done. Do you have any input, Sean?
No, other than the fact that I just think it's amazing that AT&T has printed form letters and they're just like, sign these. Yes, we'll send them for you. No, you can't change any of the language. Oh, it says exactly what you want it to say. Don't worry.
Yeah.
It's just the, like you said, it's the shade. That's the shadiest tactic I've ever seen.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and like I said, AT&T is like one of the shadiest companies I've ever seen in my entire life. It's crazy how, I mean, I almost trust oil companies more than I trust AT&T, for God's sake. That's crazy. But they are just out for themselves. They do not care about their customers or anyone else. Oh, well, nothing new there, I guess. If you have an iOS device, you need to get your new update. This is more of a PSA than it is actually a news story. But 10.3.3 fixes a vulnerability in Wi-Fi that would allow an attacker to remotely control your device and maybe even get information off of it. So definitely check and see if your device is available for upgrade. It affects the iPhone 5 through the iPhone 7, the 4th generation iPad and newer, and iPod Touch 6th generation. So if you got any of those, 10.3.3. That is all. All right. And on to things that aren't going to get updates. So Microsoft has said that Windows 10, according to PC World, may cut off devices with older CPUs. Let's see here. They're not very specific. However, they do say, let's see here, certain older Atom-based Windows devices and other aging models will not be getting the Creator's Update or future updates. Basically, like Clover Trail processors have fallen into Intel's end-of-service support phase, and because of their end-of-service status, you can't upgrade them anymore. Used to, the reason this is kind of a problem is used to, you know, if you had a piece of computer hardware, you could try to install whatever you wanted on it. It didn't matter. I could try to put Windows 10 on any processor I wanted. You know, Windows 7 will install on some pretty slow stuff. And it might be slow to the point of being completely unusable, but you could install it if you wanted. Windows 10, after this information, is basically going to not even allow you to install anymore. And with the CPU thing, it's not as big of a deal as when you look at the slippery slope argument that me and Sean always enjoy. What's to keep Microsoft from picking any piece of hardware to disallow Windows 10 to install on your computer if it has that hardware? That's a little scary. You know, I mean, just because a piece of hardware stops getting driver updates, Microsoft could say, well, if you got that, you're not installing Windows 10. No more updates. You're done. I've got plenty of old gear that's very specialized gear that I can't do without, that uses, you know, software that hasn't been updated for a long time. That could become a problem. I hope not, but slippery slope, right, Sean?
Sure.
Do you have any input on that?
No, I'm not even sure I entirely understand the logistics of this entire conversation.
No.
I mean, I get what you're saying about the slippery slope. I'm just not sure if this is a slippery slope that I give two shits about, you know? Like, it seems like if your stuff's out of date and they don't want it working with their brand new program, then it's kind of their prerogative.
Well, that's the thing, though. They don't, it's not that they're, it's not like, okay, if you have a graphics card that they no longer support, okay, the maker stops putting out drivers, Windows decides, you know, that's not something we're going to support anymore, and then you don't get any more updates to Windows 10 after that. It stops the updates completely, and you can't install new versions of Windows 10 on that hardware. Instead of just saying, hey, this graphics card is not compatible, you know, we're not going to let the software for it run. You know, or this webcam can't run, so you can't use the webcam on your computer. You'll still get Windows updates, you'll still be able to run Windows, but you can't use the webcam. That would be the way to do it. Instead, they're just saying, no Windows 10. But it basically makes it to where it limits PC builders to supported hardware. And
okay.
That's always been the thing with PCs, is that you could put anything you wanted together and it would work, as long as you had the knowledge to make it work, you know. So now we've got the ability for Microsoft to have planned obsolescence, you know. All of a sudden, it's not about whether your technology works or not. It's whether or not Microsoft deems it supportable.
Right.
You know. So, I don't know. It's a little, a little scary. All right, let's see here. So Google, their life sciences division, is going to be releasing a bunch of bacteria-infected mosquitoes into Fresno.
For science!
For science! I had to put that on there because I didn't want to, like, fear-monger people. what it is these are male mosquitoes, number one. And they are the bacteria that are actually infecting them. It makes it to where mosquito eggs can't produce offspring. So number one, they're male mosquitoes, so they don't bite. Only female mosquitoes bite. If you didn't know that, you know, hey, the more you know. But because of this, what'll happen is they'll mate with the females. Females will lay eggs, but the eggs won't do anything. They're just, you know, like dead. So they're hoping that something like this will help control or wipe out mosquito populations, you know. Do you have any idea? I know bats eat mosquitoes, but bats eat a lot of different bugs.
Okay.
Nothing relies on mosquitoes, does it? Mosquitoes are completely superfluous. They're literally a pest, right?
I don't know.
I think they probably are. Yeah. So they're gonna release about 1 million mosquitoes a week over a 20-week period in 200-300-acre neighborhoods in the Fresno area. I'm not gonna try. I'm gonna try and say the bacteria's name. I'm gonna horribly butcher it. Wolbachia. I don't know, but that's, you know, what can you do? I'm hopeful, but also kind of frightened by this. It would be nice for mosquitoes to go away. But what worries me is if they start doing, I'm okay with them doing it in this kind of a small area because, you know, one small area is not going to be that big of a deal. But if they were to do this on a more large scale deployment, do the mosquitoes, my worry would be the mosquitoes, like how long are they gone? You know, if it's not, there's no way it can wipe out every mosquito. And when the mosquitoes do come back, are they going to be more badass and stronger? are we basically going into Fallout 4 territory with the blood bugs, the like Volkswagen Beetle sized mosquitoes?
So you take it to a whole different video game than I was going to take it to, because my question to you was, you played Mass Effect, right?
Uh-huh.
So this is the genophage.
Ooh, kind of is, yeah.
That's all the genophage was it was just like, oh, we're going to infect these people with this virus that just like completely stunts their ability to reproduce, because when they aren't stunted, they reproduce at a rate that just makes them impossible to stop, you know, like they produce so many people that they can just run over the entire galaxy with infantry, you know, and that's what we're doing here. Like, this is just the genophage all over again. And in that game, if you remember, like, you have to make the decision on whether to like stop the genophage or not.
This is true, but they weren't mosquitoes. I can honestly say if they had
barbarian lizard people.
Yeah, if the Krogan were mosquitoes, I would have let them die. I would have killed them with fire myself. In that game, I did choose to stop the genophage. But if they were mosquitoes, fuck that noise. They're dead. I hate mosquitoes so much. Mosquitoes. That's how I used to learn how to spell the word. You'd say mesquite toes.
So you would pronounce it phonetically?
Yeah. To spell it. You know.
Yeah, good job.
I wouldn't actually, you know, like say it that way. But it's how I learned how to spell assassin too.
I mean, I'm pretty sure that's how you should learn how to spell every word. Like, isn't that what spelling is?
It is, Mr. No E on the end of Premiere. Can't say that shit phonetically, can you? Anyway, so are you chewing on your microphone?
No,
because it sounds like it.
Chewing on my microphone.
That's all I'm getting from you.
Yeah, no, I was messing with the. I was like, it won't stand up anymore. You know, like
got a limp stand, do you, Sean?
They make pills for that. Yes, exactly.
Is your stand limp? Does your microphone not sit where it used to sit?
You know what I mean. The stand stands straight up, of course, but the microphone itself, you know, the little tightening knob doesn't work anymore, so it's just it flops over.
You got a floppy mic and a faulty knob.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh man, a good screw will fix that, Sean. Okay, let's see here. So, Amazon, that's one of the big companies we haven't talked about yet. You know, the Echo is kind of a thing. They have very large amount of different models. You got the original Echo, the Echo Dot, the Echo Show, the Echo Look. And then technically you've got the Dash One that also has the Echo Assistant built into it. But it's not an Echo of its own, so it's in a middle ground. Well, sources close to Amazon have told Engadget that that Amazon is working on a new Echo that will be aiming to take some of the hype away from Apple's HomePod, so to be like a home speaker. It'll be shorter and slimmer than the original. Almost as if there were three or four Echo Dots stacked on top of each other. Rounded edges, cloth-like covering. Company is packing several tweeters, and that's instead of just relying on the one large tweeter and woofer that like the regular Echo has. I am totally into this idea because it would be nice to have a better home speaker that was still smart. Smart speakers are the future. I'm not sure how smart the HomePod is going to be as far as being an assistant. So I'm really excited about Amazon getting into the home speaker market as, you know, the assistant stuff. Would this change your... And if they kept it like within the $150 price range as opposed to $350 for the HomePod, would it kind of interest you at all, Sean? Like a smart home speaker?
Nope,
not at all, huh? You don't listen to music at home or
nope.
Like podcasts or anything like that?
Nope.
Wow, that's weird. No,
I've listened to anything like that in my car.
What do you do when when you clean house? Is it just quiet, like the grave?
I guess. So, I mean, first of all, let's be honest here. I don't do a whole lot of house cleaning. I guess, like, when we were remodeling that bathroom and I was, like, painting and stuff in there, like, I would, you know, just put my phone down and turn on Pandora.
Yeah, what if you could just ask for that? You know, home speaker, play Pandora, bam. Done.
Yeah, the home speaker, is it just going to happen to be in the room that I happen to be working in at that time? Like, my phone's with me in my pocket at all times.
Well, but if it's loud enough and good enough quality, it doesn't have to be in the same room. You just put it in a central location, it fills your whole house with music.
But why would I want to fill my whole house with music? I don't want to disturb, you know, maybe my wife is downstairs watching television and I'm, you know, painting the bathroom. Why would I want to fill the whole house with music? I just want music in the bathroom where I'm painting.
You don't care about it disturbing your wife. Don't lie to me.
Regardless of my personal intentions or whatever, that does not mean that the hypothetical situation is irrelevant.
This is true, I guess. Usually when I listen to music, I say, you know, I use earbuds most of the time, but if I'm home alone, which it does happen, I like to crank up the Amazon Echo and blast some tunes.
Yeah. No, I very rarely ever do anything like that. So when
I'm
mowing
the grass, risky business of impersonations?
No.
Like sliding in your underwear and singing? No? Nothing?
Nope.
Oh, see, I do that at least once a day. Yeah.
I cannot remember the last time, like, the last time I turned on music was when we were remodeling the bathroom. But other than that, like, prior to, you know, having to spend, you know, hours in there painting and you know, cutting drywall and whatever, I can't remember any time before that where I played music, you know, in the house for any reason.
Wow. You're boring, Sean.
And now time for movie news.
Oh, movie news. This is technically movie news, technically not movie news. It's about Star Wars and Disney. However, it's part of... Disney has given us our first look at Star Wars Land. That is a horrible name. It does not roll off the tongue. Star Wars Land. So... let's see here. Have you looked at this article and watched a little slideshow?
I'm looking through it right now.
Okay. So there'll be two main attractions. One that lets guests captain the Millennium Falcon on a secret mission, while the other places thrill seekers in the middle of a climactic battle between the First Order and the Resistance. It looks pretty cool. I don't know. I mean... I'd go, I guess. I don't know when the next time I'm going to go to Disney World is. I've never been there. Taking my daughter there.
I say I've been there one time, and it was when I was like 5. So I have not been to Disney World since it became, you know, overrun with movies and stuff. You know, when we were that young, it was still just like, you know, Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck and The Little Mermaid and Aladdin. And now it's like, you know, Harry Potter and the Marvel stuff and Star Wars. And
now it's,
you know,
cool.
None of that stuff was around when we were kids going to Disney.
Yep. We had street rats and they get Boba Fett.
Right. I had to go to the Magic Kingdom and, you know, see Ariel, or, you know.
Awesome.
This looks pretty cool, though.
On top of this, though, this is the part I think you would be more interested in, Sean. Disney is planning an immersive Star Wars hotel.
Yeah, I heard about this. It's almost like a role play experience.
Yep. Every guest will experience a completely unique story throughout their stay, which will touch every single minute of their day, according to Disney.
See, that sounds awesome.
Yeah. You'll dress up in Star Wars clothing and explore a starship, which is the hotel itself, filled with familiar looking aliens. And just to complete the experience, every window will look out into space.
That's awesome. I absolutely would like to do that.
Let's see here. This does sound like a lot of fun. Let's see here. They don't have some of the other stuff I've heard about it in this article. There are some stuff that I've heard in the article where, like, sometimes in your story, if you follow your story, if you make the wrong decision or something like that, it may even come down to bounty hunters being sent after you.
Right.
And they'll just like follow you through the hotel. It sounds so cool. I would totally stay in the Star Wars hotel.
I mean, it's really getting very Westworld.
Yeah.
You know?
Super Westworld.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And as well as Disney, what do they call them? Cast members, you know, the employees of Disney theme parks, as well as they stay in character, it would probably be a pretty immersive experience if you think about it. If you just let yourself go, you know.
It would definitely make me as an adult consider going to Disney World for, you know, a fun vacation.
Yeah, just let it go for a week, you know, just go
with
and
no
just
kids,
do whatever.
Just me and the wife. Be like, all right, let's go play Star Wars.
That's awesome. Is a lightsaber able to be in your carry-on, or has that got to be checked, you think?
I don't know. I mean, how nice of a lightsaber? Are we talking like one of those, like, you know, cascading cone type plastic ones? Or are we talking about like one of those like really nice
like from
ones?
From Wicked Sabers?
Wizard World, yeah.
Yeah, Wicked Sabers, man.
If you're talking about one of those, like, I mean, I don't even know if I'd want to. I'd almost insist on carry on because they were going to get broken.
Yeah, like a $400 lightsaber from Wicked
right.
Sabers. No thanks.
Unless,
I'll keep it.
I mean, you're going to have it in some kind of like large hard case. And if that's the, I mean, if you've got it in some kind of protective case, obviously, I guess it could be checked. I don't know. I've never flown before either. So
oh.
I'm just completely hypothesizing BS here.
Yeah, have like a golf bag for your lightsaber. That would be great.
I would just drive. We'll just drive to Disney World.
That's like that. 18 hours.
Yeah, I don't care. So.
Oh, my gosh. That was my honeymoon. Well, not Orlando, but I went to Ormond Beach, which is just north of Daytona. And it was an 18-hour drive that I took in like one solid stint. I didn't stop.
No. You stop at least once.
Not me. I was like, screw you guys. We're going. Of course, it was only my wife, and she slept like a lot. But I just drove the whole thing. And then I got there, and like the whole next day was just me sleeping. It's ridiculous. All right. So let's do my...
LOL.
Oh, no, you got one of these, don't you?
Was that?
Oh, yeah, you added that, you sneaky little devil.
I added a movie story.
Oh, okay. Well, let's hit that then.
Yeah, so Ant-Man announced that, you know, this is another announcement to come out of Comic-Con. You know, I was looking for more, you know, casting announcements and things like that. And the upcoming Ant-Man and the Wasp film has made some pretty large cast announcements. So I wanted to go over some of the large names that were added to the film. And the main one here, the big name, being the person they've cast to play the role of Janet Van Dyne, the Wasp. And it's going to be played by Michelle Pfeiffer. I'm not sure. I mean, she still looks pretty good in this picture and everything, but like, she's kind of old to be playing that role, don't you think?
I don't know. It depends on what the role entails, I guess.
Well, I just mean like, I don't know. I guess the Wasp... I guess the Wasp always hung out with Hank Pym, and Hank Pym is actually Michael Douglas. So,
well, that was his wife, wasn't it?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. I'm just not sure like what storyline.
She's 59,
you know,
by the way.
Who, Michelle Pfeiffer?
Yeah.
But I guess that makes sense. Maybe I'm just getting confused with, you know, the two different incarnations of Ant-Man. But either way, Michelle Pfeiffer, you know, previously Catwoman in the DC universe, gets to join the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So, I mean, she's a great actress and everything. I was just concerned about, like, whether she was supposed to be, you know, Scott Lang's age, or whether she's supposed to be Hank Pym's age, you know, because Michelle Pfeiffer, as beautiful as she is, I don't think she should really be playing, you know, a 30-year-old. Even though what's his face who plays Scott Lang is way older than he looks as well.
Okay,
so.
It was his she was his partner is what Wikipedia is telling me.
Right, and that's what I've seen in, like, the cartoons and stuff, and that's what I was saying where I was getting confused with the fact that, you know, the Ant-Man that we know is Paul Rudd. That's what I was thinking of a second ago. And Paul Rudd is actually Scott Lang, not Hank Pym. And Hank Pym is the Ant-Man that I'm familiar with from most of the Marvel cartoons that I've seen and things like that. And so that's where I was getting confused is the Wasp character the same age as Hank Pym in this universe, or is it the same age as Scott Lang in this universe?
Yeah.
And if she's supposed to be in the general age of Hank Pym, then yeah, that makes sense.
I think she's probably supposed to be because Hope Van Dyne, or is it Dyne or Dean? Dine.
Right. Dine, I guess.
I think it's Dine. Hope is the, you know, is the love interest from the Ant-Man movie, and that's the daughter of Hank and Janet.
Okay, gotcha.
So I think she's supposed to be Hank Pym's age, you know.
Yeah, so that's cool. Yeah, that works then. So in addition to Michelle Pfeiffer being cast, they also announced some other characters, and that is the character of Ghost will be played by Hannah John-Kamen. I'm not familiar with her. However, Walton Goggins, who I'm a huge fan of from Sons of Anarchy and Justified and Vice Principals on HBO, Walton Goggins will play the character Sonny Birch. Lawrence Fishburne has been cast to play Bill Foster, better known in the comics as Goliath. And Randall Park from Fresh Off the Boat is confirmed to play Agent Jimmy Woo. So a lot of big names cast in the new Ant-Man movie. That's pretty cool. And I like the first one. I Paul Rudd's awesome. I thought that was a good – I like the, you know, the more funny – Marvel movies, of course, you know, like this, like Guardians of the Galaxy, you know.
Yeah.
I enjoy them a little more than I enjoy like Captain America or Thor, you know. Iron Man was kind of wisecracking. Those were always pretty good, but I don't think they're doing any more Iron Man movies, so.
Very true. Very true. All right. So now...
LOL,
we'll do this.
OMG, WTF.
Was that? So, Sean, when's the last time you went to an ATM?
I use them still every once in a while.
Yeah.
But I can't remember when the last time I went to one was. In the last month or so.
When's the last time you got stuck in an ATM?
Oh, I saw this on TV.
So, one man in Corpus Christi, Texas... got stuck in an ATM, apparently.
I mean, to be fair and preface it with the fact that he was like an employee of the ATM. It's not like a random guy accidentally got himself stuck in an ATM. Like, he worked for the company.
Yeah, yeah, know? Yeah. Okay, so the guy was fixing a lock in a room connected to a Bank of America ATM.
Right.
And he trapped himself in. Left his phone in the car and was unable to call for help. So he was literally... writing notes, and he would put them through the ATM to people who are getting money. One of the notes they have a picture of here: please help, I'm stuck in here and I don't have my phone, please call my boss at, and it has the number and the boss's name. People thought it was a joke, and honestly, I would too. I would totally think that was a joke. But then police arrived, heard the yelling, you know, the muffled cries for help, and got the guy out. but this just shows you, don't ever leave your phone anywhere. Just have it stitched into your body or something. It's crazy.
Would you call the number? Like if you were at the ATM and you, you know, received a note along with your money? Well, that'd be my first question. Like, did these people get their money out of the ATM too, in addition to the note? Because if I just got the note and no money, then I'm definitely going to talk to somebody. But if I got the money and the note, you know, I don't know.
I would probably call it just to see, almost. Honestly, I'm like, oh, this is...
Just out of pure curiosity.
Yeah, like I never, you know, you never see that. So it's like, well, yeah.
I would probably start knocking on the ATM, you know, and just being like, hello? Like, is there really somebody in here?
That's awesome. I love it. All right. So now we move on to
next flicks.
And let's see here. We're going to do movies from the 24th, which is when this podcast will debut, to the 4th. Oh my gosh, it's already August. That's crazy. Let's see here. All right, so first one, Atomic Blonde. James McAvoy, Charlize Theron, Sophia Boutella, I think. I hope. Toby Jones, John Goodman. The crown jewel of Her Majesty's Secret Service Secret Intelligence Service, Agent Lorraine, whatever, is equal parts spycraft, sensuality, and savagery, willing to deploy any of her skills to stay alive on her impossible mission. Sent alone into Berlin to deliver a priceless dossier out of the destabilized city, she partners with embedded station chief David Percival to navigate her way through the deadliest game of spies.
Next.
Yeah, I don't know.
Sounds like a lame James Bond. There was nothing interesting or intriguing about it.
That's the only problem. It just wasn't that interesting. I don't know. Well, we'll see. Okay. The Emoji Movie.
This looks funny.
TJ Miller, James Corden, Patrick Stewart, Jennifer Coolidge, Maya Rudolph. The Emoji Movie unlocks the never before seen secret world inside your smartphone. Hidden within the messaging app is Textopolis, a bustling city where all your favorite emojis live, hoping to be selected by the phone's user. In this world, each emoji has only one facial expression, except for Gene, an exuberant emoji who has been born without a filter and is bursting with multiple expressions. Determined to become normal, like all the other emojis, Gene enlists the help of his handy best friend, High Five, played by James Corden, and the notorious codebreaker emoji, Jailbreak. Together, they embark on an epic app venture. See what you did there?
Yeah.
The apps on the phone, each its own wild and fun world, to find the code that will fix Gene. But when greater danger threatens the phone, the fate
of... Next.
It's taken forever,
on,
yeah. Yeah, it had one sentence left. They could have stopped it right at the fixed Gene part.
They could have stopped it before that, and they should have. That was not very concise writing.
No. Okay, let's see here. This is comedy limited, but I feel it needs to be read.
Okay.
Okay. Brigsby Bear. Claire Danes, Greg Kinnear, Kyle Mooney, Beck Bennett, Mark Hamill. let's see here.
Interesting cast.
You're going to like this. The film centers on the creation of a children's TV show who must deal with their program's cancellation.
What?
Yeah, so a guy creates a children's TV show, and then it gets canceled, and he has to deal with it. But it's a comedy.
Okay.
Yeah, that's why it's so weird.
It was almost like the synopsis was so short, I didn't even understand the point behind it.
Exactly.
I don't know.
Exactly. All right, so that was July 28th. Let's move on to August. August 4th. Wow, really? Already there, huh? Fantastic. Oh, boy. I forgot this was coming out. Squee. Okay. The Dark Tower. Oh, you're going to like it. Idris Elba, Matthew McConaughey, Abby Lee, Tom Taylor, Jackie Earl Haley. Sorry. I didn't know he was in it. That's cool. So, storyline. Gunslinger Roland Deschaine roams an old west-like landscape in search of the Dark Tower, in the hopes that reaching it will preserve his dying world.
Nice,
right? God, I can't wait to see this movie. Idris Elba is going to be awesome. And, you know, Matthew McConaughey, also awesome. Two guys, like we were talking before the beginning of the podcast, even being a dude, I'm comfortable enough to say that, like, I would cuddle them, and I bet they smell nice.
Yeah.
Both of them, yeah. Oh, let's see here. Next one. Kidnap. Halle Berry, Lou Temple, Dana Guerrero. Is that Guerrero? You corrected me on this once before, is why I'm asking.
Yeah, she's the gal from The Walking Dead. I don't remember.
It's kind of a French tinge to it.
I'm not remembering. I can't remember how to pronounce it now.
Yeah, I don't. Oh, well. A thriller following a mother, Halle Berry, who will stop at nothing to rescue her kidnapped son.
That's it. Damn. I'm not going to watch it, but.
All right. Let's see here. Detroit. John Boyega. That's cool. Ang Lee Smith. Will Poulter. Jack Rayner. Ben O'Toole. The story is set against the backdrop of Detroit's devastating riots that took place over 5 summer days in 1967.
Next.
Too late. It's done. it snuck up on you and it was out before you knew what happened.
Right. Too bad.
Let's see here. Lots of limiteds, but this is the last one. So I'm going to try and pick one limited with somebody's name that I recognize. Ah, here we go. Okay, you know who I haven't seen for a while?
Who's that?
Armed Response. Wesley Snipes. Anne Hesch. Seth Rollins. Gene Simmons.
Oh, God.
A team of special forces soldiers approach the designer of a high-tech military compound.
Next. I don't want any more.
Oh, man. It was going to be so good, too, Sean. You could have missed out on something great.
Gene freaking Simmons. Anne Hesch. What? Wesley, one of the Expendables movies. I think he was in like the third Expendables movie.
Wesley Snipes?
Yeah.
He might have been, yeah.
I haven't seen the third one, but I think he was in it.
Yeah. Oh, well. So we know what Wesley Snipes is up to, Sean. How about you? What are you up to?
Well, I recently finished the most recent Iron Druid novel. Even though I wouldn't necessarily call it a novel, it was just a collection of short stories, some of which had previously been released in other formats, either in the ebooks or the Audible versions as well. But the Iron Druid series of books is one of my favorite series, narrated by at least one of my favorite Audible narrators, Luke Daniels, the same guy who narrates the Magic 2.0 series. And the Iron Druid Chronicles is probably one of my favorite, if not my favorite. And they're leading up to the final book in the series, and that will be coming out later this year, early next year, I believe. And this was a series of short stories that, a lot of it took place in the past, but then a few of them did lead you into, the very beginning of the what will be the final book. So, this particular series, the very final short story, is what led you directly into the final book in the Chronicles. And it was a bit emotional, a little sad. So, looking forward to the new book, but a little sad at the same time, not only to see it come to an end, but to see how they left things off in this short story. So, but that was Besieged. And then in addition to that, last weekend was the premiere of Game of Thrones. So that's probably the other big news in, the media of which I consume, was that Game of Thrones is now back. We've waited over a year for it to come back. So do you watch Game of Thrones? You watch Game of Thrones, right?
I do, and I did.
Okay. What did you think? Like, I thought like the first couple minutes was awesome. Yeah. And then they managed to touch on, like a lot of different storylines. But other than those first couple minutes, there wasn't anything crazy exciting that happened. So
nothing
there were a few
exciting.
There were a few good lines and things like that, but I think it was just a lot of story development other than those first few minutes.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there was nothing too exciting, like jaw-dropping about it. My favorite parts were their touch with the Hound, because I really like his character.
Right.
Of course, the first few minutes was fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's about it, really.
I was convinced when Arya came upon the soldiers in the woods were singing. So you're aware that like one of those soldiers is Ed Sheeran. I was convinced that Arya Stark was going to kill Ed Sheeran. And it didn't happen. So.
I'm not convinced it's not going to happen.
Right. It may still happen. Yeah. It is very possible.
She was eyeballing those swords pretty hard.
Right. And when she said she was headed to go kill the queen and they all just laughed and she did too, it was just like,
yeah.
You guys don't know what you've gotten yourselves into.
Uh-huh.
Silly Ed Sheeran and your love songs. This isn't the place for you, buddy.
You know, I did see a really funny picture of him, but it was like an equation of I don't remember his name, but he's the head of the wild people, the dude with the red hair and the beard and all that.
Yeah, the guy who's in love with Brienne.
Yeah, it was a picture of him, and then it had a plus sign, and then it had a picture of Brienne. And then it had an equal sign that was Ed Sheeran.
Ed Sheeran. That's funny.
Okay. Awesome. I have been playing Sniper Elite 4. I've been a huge fan of the Sniper Elite games since they first came out with the original on computer. Very fun games. They opened it up quite a bit now instead of having linear stories and levels where you kind of, you know, follow a rail, basically. Now they have just they drop you in the middle of a map with multiple objectives and you figure out how you're going to go about doing it. And it's pretty nice. It's fun so far. Other than that, I got new Apple toys. That I'm sure you're excited about, Sean, with your never-ending love of Apple.
Oh, yeah.
I've got the 10.5-inch iPad smart cover. Did I talk about getting the new iPad? I don't remember if I did.
I don't know. When you talk about getting stuff like
that. You would think that's something I would have mentioned. Yeah, you would think I would have mentioned that. But if I hadn't, well, sorry. I got the new 10.5-inch iPad. And I got the Apple smart cover this time as opposed to someone else's keyboard. It really is nice. Not having to charge the battery on your keyboard is nice. The magnets are super strong. Keyboard feels nice even with the small travel of the keys. And it's nice that it's waterproof. It's kind of like a waterproof, water-resistant coating. You know, so spills are not a problem. I have a 3-year-old, so spills are pretty common around my house. I also got the UAG. UAG is a company that makes cases. I had it on my 9.7 iPhone or iPad, and it's absolutely amazing. Let me find the actual model name here. I believe it's Metropolis. Yeah, so it's the UAG Metropolis case. It's very, very nice. Very, you know, it's got a rubber finish. It holds all the important bits off of the table. But the big thing is it's a full iPad case. It has an Apple Pencil holder that keeps the pencil nice, secure, and out of the way. But the front cover snaps off, and it allows you to replace its front cover with the Apple Smart Keyboard. And it still creates a nice, light, thin package for you to carry around. So very good stuff there. I also got a Steel Series Nimbus. It's an older gamepad, a little controller. It's been out for a few years. I got this one off eBay for like $15, but it lets you play things. I've been playing Knights of the Old Republic. Did you ever play that game? The original?
That was an Xbox game, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That was like, I didn't play a lot of video games back then, and I remember trying to play that game and like not even being able to master the controls, and so I bailed out of it real quick.
Gotcha. Well, this lets you play games like that, or Minecraft is another one I play with the controller.
Yeah, that's a wonderful. I hate that game. You know that.
Racing games also very good with the controller. Real racing is kind of my thing. I like that one.
I like race car games.
Yeah,
I was a big fan of the Forza.
Awesome. Forza was good. And last thing I got, and this one's one of the ones I'm most excited about. I just so happened to be in the Apple Store the other day with a friend of mine, and I had looked. Every time I go to the Apple Store, I look on my app to see if they have AirPods in stock. They never do. Never, ever. And my friend actually decided he was going to just ask him. So he asks, and the guy said, I literally just put a couple of them into inventory. And we immediately jumped on them. So I finally got a set of Apple AirPods. That's the $160 Bluetooth earbuds that Apple makes that they can't make enough of, apparently. But, yeah, so a little dental floss case that they come in, connected directly to my iPhone, like instantly. They sound fantastic, fit in my ear just perfectly, because I'm a big fan of the Apple earbuds that come with all the Apple devices. You know, your iPhone, they fit really well in my ear, so these fit fantastic. Been loving them so far. Been wearing them around the house and listening to music, and then someone will call, I'll be able to answer the phone call. So good stuff.
You're such a douche.
Why am I a douche?
Because you're like, okay, because first of all, like when you see that guy like walking, you know, like in the mall, you know, with his Bluetooth earpiece in, you know, like listening to music and taking phone calls, you're like, wow, what a douche. You're doing that at home.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's like twice as bad. Like you're not, I don't even know what to say.
No. You just talked about not wanting to interrupt your wife while you're listening to music. So I'm not interrupting. I'm in my own little zone. So, you know, you're a douche with me. You're just a different kind of douche. That guy that you see in the mall who's got his phone on speakerphone while he's having a conversation, that's you, Sean. You listen to music on your phone when everyone else may not want to listen to that music, Sean. I at least got earbuds in.
I'm listening to it on my phone in a room, like in an enclosed space by myself.
I don't know if that matters.
You're telling me to buy a damn speaker to put in the middle of my house to play it all over. You're the one telling me to disturb others.
I'm the douche.
You're telling me that I should disturb others while at the same time you're prancing around your house with a Bluetooth earpiece in,
earbuds,
you know, taking phone calls like you're Gordon Gekko and you're wheeling and dealing on Wall Street or some shit. So
Jordan Belfort, don't, please.
What now?
I said Jordan Belfort, please. Not Gordon Gekko.
I like my reference better.
Yeah, well, mine involves Leonardo DiCaprio, so, you know, another guy. Probably smells good. The same. All right.
And Richard Gere didn't?
I don't know. Well, when he did that, maybe, but nowadays... I don't know. He would probably smell like old man. Not sure. What do these people smell like?
Smell like our new game. What does that smell like?
We should probably try that, because, like I said, Idris Elba is probably like pine trees and something else. I don't know. Matthew McConaughey to me feels like. Sea breeze and sandalwood.
No, it's Matthew McConaughey. He smells like weed covered with patchouli.
All right. All right, so that's all we got for you for today. Sean. Oh. It's always difficult. I should probably think of things that make you say before.
You probably should.
we end?
Well, you're the one who decided to, you know, end the show by asking me stupid questions all the time.
Well, people like it. It's funny. They like when we don't get along. What do you think? Trying to think of a good actor. What do you think Peter Capaldi smells like?
What does Peter Capaldi smell like? He's kind of an old man.
He is.
He was very cranky. Peter Capaldi smells like Earl Grey tea and Ben Gay.
That's a mixture.
That needs to be Jodie Whittaker's first duty as the new doctor is go get Nardole's ass back. Put him somewhere good. Leave him all.
But he has to protect the children.
Well, then you go save the fucking kids, too.
But
you go back and you set shit right.
You're still a little torn up about Rose, aren't you?
I am.
I'm feeling some very, very buried deep resentment. Like if you ever met David Tennant, you might like have a slight rage in your eye.
Yeah, I would, because it'd be like, oh, how many stars did you burn up to tell her that? And well, you'd go burn up some more, motherfucker.
Oh man, I mean, he's alive, so you know he's gonna come back sooner or later. I also like Nardole,
and Nardole's not even really like a dude, you know.
Yeah,
like he's more of a
robot at this point, right?
Yeah, yeah. I think he's just like a head on a machine body or something. I know, because he was originally in that big old red, you know, like industrial machine type thing.
I forget what that thing was named.
Yeah, I don't remember, but either way, he's not all human, so.
But like I said, I mean, you can't. The doctor sent him away because he knew he was going to die, or he thought he was going to die.
I know, but that annoys me. The doctor always sends people away and shit. Like that's the point of the show, and that's what's sad and disturbing is that like the fucking companions always get the shaft, man. They always die or get sent away or abandoned somewhere. I mean, it's just not good for any of them. The doctor's a dick.